For some strange reason, God has brought Psalm 23 to us a number of times over the last year and a half, and it's just opened up a whole new rich appreciation for what David wrote in this psalm. And so, if you join me this morning, this isn't about learning some new thing that we've never heard before about Psalm 23 or finding some wonderful new principle that you can apply to your life. I want to just invite you to join me in a celebration of what Psalm 23 has to say and to just simply enjoy the wonder and beauty of this psalm. Again, we just often miss what's here because we're so familiar with it. And you might even pray with me during the song, during the message, that God would reveal to us all the wonder and beauty of what's here. Because I'm convinced that what David did for us was paint a picture for us that brought him tremendous joy. This was something that meant a lot to him. And as he celebrated his relationship with God, and if we allow ourselves to enter into David's awe and wonder, I think we'll catch a glimpse of what it was he envisioned when he wrote this. So let's begin with Psalm 23 itself in the New Revised Standard. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. It's beautiful. Now, I've been convinced recently that the best way to appreciate Psalm 23 is in the context of covenant. I think everything that David says about this psalm, every phrase in here is a covenant blessing. There's something here that results directly from God's promises to David. And as we walk through it, we're going to see a lot of evidence of this. The most glaring, of course, is the word shepherd. One of the things that God said over and over and over in the Old Testament is, I want a people for myself. I want to call out a people that are mine, that I can shepherd and care for and protect and guide. And this is the word shepherd shows up all throughout the Old Testament in terms of God caring for his people. This is part of his covenant relationship with his people. If you remember a few months ago, Todd talked about covenant and how solemn this is, how serious covenant is. That when two parties would covenant together, that they would literally promise their lives to one another. And if one got in trouble, the other would come to their aid. And this is so important to get. The other side of this is that when one party was much bigger and stronger and wealthier than the other party, and they made a covenant, the stronger party generally just dictated the terms. This is what we offer you as a covenant relationship. And that's for that reason, this word covenant was also used as will and testament. Like if someone were to die, they would lay out the terms for what would happen to their estate. And so this, the word for covenant also was used to talk about how their goods would be distributed, because the person with the wealth got to set the terms. And so when God set about to make a covenant with Israel, he laid out the terms. He said, look, I want a people that I can love. That's why I did creation in the first place. My purpose here is to relate to human beings. And the world generally has gone their own way, but I want to call out a people for myself that will take my name, who will live the way I designed them to live, in the kind of life that is beautiful and life-giving to those around them. And this is what it means to be in covenant with God. He said, there's some things that I want from you in that process. In the Old Testament, it had to do with obedience to the law. And the cool thing is that when the New Covenant comes along, that's why some of the New Testament authors talked about us being heirs of the promises, because a covenant is like a will and testament as well as an agreement. So we become heirs of the covenant and the promises. Now, what did God promise Israel? Well, to protect them, to provide for them, to bless them, shepherd them. And if we go back to Psalm 23, that's exactly what we see there. We see green pastures, still waters, restoration, leading, security, provision. These are all blessings of the covenant and the relationship that David had with God. And these are all different ways that David experiences God in his life. And what he's doing in this psalm is just recounting the beauty. Like, wow, look at this. Look at all the stuff God's doing for me. And as God adopts us as his children, this is what he gives us. So I think Psalm 23, more than anything else, is David celebrating this beautiful, lopsided covenant that he has with God. You know, where God does most of the work. Now, here's something really cool. There's a passage in Ezekiel where the prophet Ezekiel, he's looking ahead at the new covenant. He's prophesying at a time when Israel needs to be restored to the land. They've been off in Babylon for some time. But Ezekiel is prophesying about the restoration of Israel and the new covenant that God's going to make with people. So that's the context. Now, the really cool thing about when it comes to Ezekiel 34 is that he takes all of these images from Psalm 23 and weaves them into his prophecy. And it reads like a amplified version of Psalm 23, if you will. It's really cool. I'm just going to read this. Now listen. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered. I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, restore my soul. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and they shall live in safety, and no one shall make them afraid. I fear no evil. I will provide for them a splendid vegetation so that they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land. I shall not want. They shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Now, those are just a few excerpts, but Ezekiel 34 is just this beautiful weaving together of Psalm 23 and covenant and the new covenant, all in one place. It's just fantastic. And we see the echoes of this Psalm 23 all through this passage in Ezekiel, that the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters and restores my soul, and I don't have to be afraid of my enemies. And again, understand the context of Ezekiel here. He's looking ahead. He's talking about a covenant that will happen when the new shepherd comes. This is our covenant that he's talking about. And it incorporates all of these blessings of Psalm 23. And if you read Jeremiah 31, it has a very similar tone to it, where he weaves together Psalm 23 with these covenant blessings. So these are just some of the reasons why I think that the best way to understand Psalm 23 is the power of covenant. And if we could just grasp the meaning and the vision of how hugely important this is. Now, there's some more things in Psalm 23. It's some covenant terms that we find there. And this has become the last verse of Psalm 23 just gets me excited. I love this verse. It says, you know, most of our translations say something like, "Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know, there's just some places where English fails to capture what the original authors actually said. And this is one of them. Because for one thing, that word for mercy, the word behind that, most of the time in the Old Testament is translated loving kindness. This is the word chesed. Sometimes it's transliterated hesed. You'll see it both ways. But chesed is a word in Hebrew for which there is no good English equivalent. So we have to just talk about this word and kind of get the sense of it. This is what makes covenant work. This is the power and the force and the character of the people behind covenant, where it's fidelity. It's, I'm going to do whatever it takes for your good to honor this relationship that we have. This is the strength of the covenant. I'm going to bring everything I have to bear to make this work well. And I'm going to extend myself for your good. And in the case of God, where he has all of the resources, I'm going to give you the kingdom. I'm going to give you the riches of heaven. I will restore your soul. We're going to heal the things that have gone wrong in your life. All right? This is chesed. This is God at work to bring goodness and life and love into our life. And we see this all through the Old Testament, God's commitment and his love for the good of his people. So you begin to see the power of this last verse. Surely goodness and chesed will follow me all the days of my life. How good is that? All right? And then the word for goodness. Now this is the word tov in Hebrew. It can be used just in the general sense of what is good. But we also see it scattered all throughout the Old Testament in connection with covenant, because covenant is about good. What's good for people? What gives us life? What makes life real in this crazy world? All right? So we have tov and chesed as covenant things that make life doable, livable, that makes this relationship real and tangible. All right. And then the word for follow me. You know, sometimes I used to think, you know, follow me. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Like it's back here somewhere. This word for follow is actually a lot more active than that. It's more like my shadow follows me. All right? It's there all the time. Sometimes this could be translated closely attend to. And some of the translations even use the word pursue. Goodness and loving kindness will pursue me all the days of my life. This isn't just something passive. This is something God is wanting to give us in every measure that we can receive. All right. So chesed and tov, these are covenant terms. And again, we're seeing all of this. Psalm 23 is David just thinking, I've got the best covenant anybody could ever have. This is really amazing. All right. So let's take another look at Psalm 23:6, for example. Just read this the other way. Surely your goodness and loving kindness shall closely attend to me all the days of my life. That means God's going to do whatever it takes for us to be close to him, to be with him, to be his people. And in fact, Paul says he'll go beyond what we can imagine or think. So now we're going to walk through some of these phrases of the psalm one more time, but this time viewing all of these things as beautiful covenant blessings, things that David is actually in awe and wonder here as he celebrates this amazing covenant. Let's look at the first phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord God, creator, is looking out for me. That's what shepherd does. It doesn't get any better than that. The God of the universe is my shepherd. I mean, let that sink in. Try to find another way of life that holds a candle to that. You can't do it, all right? This is life under the care of God. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Okay, this is why David can say, I don't lack for anything. God is meeting my most fundamental needs. And green pastures and quiet waters is no small feat in the Middle East. All right, this is really a miracle of God. God's giving us something here that the world can only dream of. He's with me in the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death. God is with me in every dark valley, whether we're talking about sickness, unemployment, betrayal, personal violations, loss of a loved one, demonic assaults. God is with me. All right? Now, we're in the middle of a war. Todd's talked about that before. We live in a world that's at war. But that's why we need a covenant. We need someone bigger than us to rescue us in this crazy world. And that's why God with us is so hugely important. Psalm 139, we read, what was dark for me isn't dark to you. You're not afraid of the things I'm afraid of. So we need someone bigger than us. Not only to just be with us and take care of our soul in the middle of a crazy planet, but to actually pull us in the right paths. He restores my soul. All right, sometimes these dark valleys take a toll. So not only is God with me in every hard place, but no matter what goes wrong, he can restore my soul. He can bring me back to the green pastures and the quiet waters. Again, we have to recognize that this planet is hostile, and the real enemy of our soul intends to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you look around or read the news, you can see that that's, you know, he's busy. But God has rescued us from the grasp of the enemy, placed himself over us as his shepherd, and under his care, we can be restored. Everything that's gone wrong, he can heal those wounds. He can show us how he sees us, that we don't have to listen to what the world says about us. We can be cleansed of everything that goes wrong. He leads me in the right paths. Okay, not only does he pull us out of that muck and goo and restore and heal all the wounds, but he's got a path in front of us that's good. He has a life for us that is good. One of the prophets says to bring you a future and a hope. He leads us into ways that actually bear fruit, that bring life and joy and create hope with every step we take. He sets a table before me. My cup overflows. Now, he says this in the presence of his enemies, even when things are looking weird to me or scary or ominous. God's putting a feast in front of me and pouring into my cup until it overflows. That's extravagance. Nothing can stop God's active involvement in my life. There's nothing this broken world can do to me but that God isn't already at work to restore and feed me and comfort me and lead me forward into something better. God will see to it that I have what I need no matter what's going on around me. And then, of course, his goodness and covenant love will attend to me all the days of my life. What a conclusion. I mean, he's just listed all of these things about the covenant. And if you look at the whole list, it's like, what else could I conclude? In the light of all these things, I can only say that Tov and Chesed are my constant companions. This is my life. This is the way I live, David says. I get to live under the abiding presence and love of the great shepherd. It gives me everything I need for life in this crazy world. Now, what's happening here is David is just simply in total awe. This is awe and wonder at the goodness of God. This is the treasure hidden in the field. And I just want to say a few words about awe and wonder. You know, we look at these images, the Hubble telescope, you know, standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, if you've ever done that, it takes your breath away. Listening to a beautiful piece of music that makes you want to weep. The preciousness of a newborn baby. Watching metamorphosis. A worm becomes a butterfly. Now, these things are so beautiful, they just take your breath away. God, what an amazing universe you have here. I think awe and wonder and beauty are essential to life. They're as important as gratitude. We just need to be in awe. And we can behold the beauty of the Lord in the same way. We can be amazed at how amazing God is. And whenever we catch a glimpse of who God really truly is, how unbelievable it is that he's actually our shepherd. Okay, this is a reason to worship. See, awe and wonder and honor, these are all elements of worship, along with music and song. All right? We just need to just, Lord, help me get it. Help me catch it. Help me touch it. The awe and beauty of who you are and what you've done. Now, Psalm 23 is a beautiful passage to quote to help people be comforted in hard times. But it's so much more than that. David is celebrating. He's in awe at the extravagance of God and what he gives to him. Okay, this is what it means to set our eyes on things above, as Paul suggests, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And truly, just to spend some time in awe is good for our soul. The news lately has been awful, hasn't it? And if we get our eyes fixed on that, it just tears your soul to shreds. Part of restoring our soul is beholding the beauty of the Lord. The Lord Almighty is our shepherd. Let me just pray for a second here. God, help us to see, to touch, to feel, to know in the depths of our being, so that we could stand in awe and wonder at your grace and goodness. Let's just celebrate our amazing God.